in prayer. When I have a big need, in fact, I have a need that, and I told some of the prayer warriors this morning, pray over this need for me. We just do some intercession for me. And I believe that intercessory prayer is just powerful. Elijah prayed, a man of God, and the heavens were shut up, didn't rain for over 3 years. Now, that's powerful, isn't it? I thought he was here a couple of years ago in Oklahoma praying. We went through that big drought. Moses prayed and stood there and lifted his hands and the sea parted. And the slaves that they were had come out of Egypt. But they were God's children, marched across on dry land. And then he prayed again and the sea swallowed up his enemy. That's powerful. That's powerful. Little boy was in Sunday school and he said, his dad came out of Sunday school and said, what'd you learn? He said, I learned that Moses and the children of Israel built this humongous bridge. They run across it, and then here come Pharaoh and his army, and they blew the bridge up and blew him to smithereens. And God said, that's terrible. Said, that's not biblical. He said, son, that's not what the Bible says. And he said, well, Dad, if I'd have told you what they really said, you'd never believe it. I mean, those prayers, unbelievable sometimes. And so God, through prayer, he did that. You know, when Hannah wanted a child, she prayed and God blessed her and she conceived. Prayer changes things. Jesus went around praying and he had just a few loaves and a few fish and he prayed and they fed thousands of people. So, I mean, we may need to learn that at the gas pump. Lord, I got $10 and I need to tank a gas. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Huh? So, you know, prayer works. Prayer works. Cliff's a walking miracle today. Just sat here in his place where he needs to be. Yeah. Because prayer. Prayer works. Prayer's bigger than cancer. It's bigger than you and I, and our selfishness is bigger than our needs. Prayer works. And if you want to change your world, I believe it starts with prayer. I hope today, and that one of our prayer requests this morning in our prayer meeting was, we hope that that you'll get a hold of this today, and we'll be known as a praying church in unity together today. Because I'd like to change our world. I'd like to change our community. And I think we'll do that through prayer. In 1 Timothy 2:1, several promises in this verse. It says, I urge them, first of all, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Who needs prayer? Everyone. And so that's what we've been commanded to do, is to pray for everyone and as intercessors. And I know there's some in here that are intercessors. I mean, you always have. But I tell you what I'm learning is this, that as I've been taking my little prayer guide and praying over the neighborhoods and doing intercessory prayer, it's becoming more a part of me. So some things are just learned, aren't they? We learn and we take on a new habit. And in fact, by the way, today I walked out to get in my truck. Summer brought the boys over and I take them. That's a ritual we have. We eat donuts every other Sunday morning when they come to church, and I always associate something good with church. Sunday morning it's donuts. Wednesday nights it's ice cream at Freddy's. It's good to be my grandkids. And so we associate something good with church. And so this morning we walked out of the house, and I've been praying over my neighborhood, over Greenbrier Point. That's where I live. It's a small little neighborhood, and we have three streets. And so I've been praying over my neighborhood and lifting them up and praying this prayer that I'll give you here in a little while on the outline. And my neighbor across the street is a little Asian guy. Wee is his name, and Kim is his wife, and we've become friends with them. And this morning he said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to church. And I said, he said, oh, this early? And I said, well, we have a prayer meeting. I said, we start at 10:30. Some morning I'd like for you to go with me and be my special guest. First time I've mentioned Jesus. We've been there a year. But he asked, where am I going? And so this morning I told him, and he said, I would like that sometime. And I thought, hallelujah. Prayer's getting in. So look for Wee and Kim to come one Sunday. And it's been a lot of prayer. But you know what? that was encouraging to me today to say, you know what, I've been praying over my neighbors. I've been putting in my time, and I think when we put in our time on something, it's kind of like when your kids or a friend of yours or your parents or whomever put in a lot of extra time and effort on a project that affects you, you just really appreciate it, you know? And it buys you significance in their face, in their thinking, you know, in their person. So that's what we've been doing is walking. I walked this week out at Dripping Springs again, and God furnished us a parking lot. Remember I told you about the driveway, and in fact He put it on the very last house in the neighborhood. I thought, isn't that something? Kathy that's been coming said we could park in her neighborhood because Janet's been stressing out. So we found her house, and she's as far as she can go on 76, 79th, wherever it is. And I said, man, this is... And so we walked from the farthest point all the way around, looping through the neighborhoods and praying. And first thing right out of the bat, here come a big St. Bernard and a little dog. And I'm thinking, I don't have to outrun the dogs, I just have to outrun Jan. I don't have to outrun... No, I didn't think that. I'm just kidding. I said, hand me one of your weights. She carries these little weights. And so I had the little weight, you know, carrying it right here. And they stopped. They just stopped. Out there at the edge of the yard. And I told Janet, well, you know, if we got bit, we'd be bitten for Jesus Christ. She said, if I get bit, I'm not coming back. He better protect me. So we've just had fun prayer walking and you know, and for Christ. So he says these should be made, prayers, requests, intercessions, thanksgiving should be made for everyone. And let me say something about thanksgiving. I think we need to do more of that for our neighbors and the people at work. And a friend of mine is he's entitled his prayer walks Taking It to the Streets. You know the old song? I like that. In fact, I was supposed to play that and I forgot it. But anyway, taking it to the streets. Taking it to the streets. And you can prayer walk anywhere you go. How many knows prayer walking is just simply talking to God about other people while you're walking? That's all prayer walk is. So as you're taking a walk into your supermarket, pray over the cashiers or whatever, you know, in the restaurant. So I hope this becomes a part of us. You know, it's not a series, it's a one message, but I hope, and my prayer is that this will become a part of us. Last Sunday, Ray, the most powerful thing I heard her say that God is just praying over our church was about intercessory prayer, and it came to my mind, you know, I need to get these made and done. And also, August 10th, write that down if you're interested in praying with us. Terry Fowler's coming, National Prayer Director, he's going to teach us right here at the church, August 10th. We'll have a free lunch, and then right after lunch, from 1 to 3, we're going to do 1 hour of training and 1 hour of teaching. I mean, he'll teach us about intercessory prayer, and then we'll do 1 hour of training. And even if you think it's not intercessory is your part, I'd like for you to come if you've got time. But you need to sign up and let us know so we'll know how many is going to be here for lunch. Is Donna? Wave, Donna. See, Donna, we had 7 or 8 sign up already, so just see Donna after church, if you would, and sign up for that. So we'll know how many to feed on that Sunday. But it's going to be a powerful time. This is what he does. He's an intercessor prayer warrior over a denomination in the national level. So we're very blessed to have him come. Okay, he says that the intercession is thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and for all of those in authority. And listen to what it says. There's benefits when we pray. How many ways that we need to pray over our leaders? Because he said that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. See, your prayers is affecting our environment here in America. And when we say, man, it's so this and it's so that, you know, and maybe you live in a neighborhood where the crime rate's up or something, I'm telling you, prayer changes things. If you want to be a world changer, start praying intercessory prayer over your neighborhood where you live. One of the neighborhoods around here recently, was it Quail Creek? It was being just vandalized, you know, day after day, broad daylight, and they finally caught all three of them. I think I would just bet there's people in that neighborhood that know how to pray, saying, "Get them, Jesus, get them, get them," huh? Because they're stealing their stuff, and so all three of them are locked up today. And so prayer affects your environment. If it's a school situation, or if it's work at the office, and the environment's out of order, I challenge you to pray and take authority as a believer where you are. Because it works. It works. Years ago, I used to work at a box factory when I first started our church, just to supplement my income. And I'll never forget this young guy, great kid, but he just, he'd get so mad at this machine we were working on that made boxes. He'd just curse and throw stuff. And every time he did, I'd say, he'd yell out a profanity, and I'd just say, well, hallelujah. And then he'd curse again. I'd say, well, praise God. He'd just look at me and he'd cuss again. I'd just pray, give God the glory. And we did that for a little while. And finally, I said that I could tell he was really frustrated with me. And I said, listen, here's what I'll do. And his name was Charlie. I said, Charlie, if you want to, if it would do any good for me to curse this machine, I would curse it with you. I said, but it didn't do any good. And if this is, if this is your style and you just can't change, then let's just go see the supervisor and we'll see what we can do about it. I just want to get resolved because I like you and I like working with you, but this isn't working. And he apologized, and so we became good friends, and I worked on that little machine with him for a while, he talked to me about scripture and all, but see, I had to take authority over that as a Christian with a good attitude, or I could have worked in a mess for the rest of my time there. Listen, some of you that think you have to have family mess for the rest of your life, you don't. You don't. If you'll pray instead of complain. Some of us are intercessory complainers. Don't raise your hand if you are, but we know who you are too. We hear you all the time. How many knows? He didn't say intercessory complaining works. You read the book of Corinthians, and when the children of Israel complained, they got in trouble and they lost the promise. But intercessory prayer works. It works. And you say, well, what do you do? Well, we'll go over some of that. But he says this, if we'll request and pray and intercede and give thanksgiving for everyone, he said, it will affect your environment. It'll be peaceful and quiet in godliness and in holiness. Look at all the blessings in that verse. And then he said this, verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Savior. Wow, you want to know what pleases Jesus? Would you like to be a Jesus pleaser? He said to do intercessory prayer for people, your community, your employees at the work and wherever you are. That pleases God. You don't have to wonder if you're pleasing God today. If you're doing intercessory prayer for someone, you're pleasing God. Because he said that pleases God. We don't get excited about it because it's work. But we should get excited about it because of the blessings that it's going to bring back and that it pleases God. It pleases God. And then he said, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's his intercessory prayer, is I want all men to come to the knowledge and salvation of Jesus Christ. And so we should be like Jesus, and we should be like the Holy Spirit doing intercession for them, because it affects the environment in which we live. You want to be a world changer? You want to change your environment? Do intercessory prayer. And if you need help on what to pray, we'll get with you. We'll sit down and tell us what's the matter, and we'll show you how to bind the enemy and how to pray over it and how to be a blessing. How many knows when you're praying and you're interceding for someone that you ought to look like you have a joy instead of look like you're in a dogfight? Interceding for this place, this pagan place. That's what I'm doing. I mean, that's not very attractive. If you're going to pet a dog and he comes up like this, you're not going to pet him, are you? Like, he's just, but if he comes up wagging his tail and he's looking nice and he's happy to see you, that's the way, even a dog has that much sense. So put your happy face on. God loves a cheerful giver. So give your prayers with a cheerful heart. Let's pray. We went down, Janet was talking about our family, and some of them, before we got there about 6 o'clock, 6:30, and some of them were already pretty looped, I call it. They had a keg out there, and they had Jello shots, and that was some of our family. I know you all thought we walked around in robes, right, singing hymns around our house. Well, we don't. People's naked in their bikinis and just running around having a good time, and that's family. That's who we have, and we just loved on them. That's our part, is to love on our family. We were talking in our Bible study the other night about let's pray and let's show light in the 4th of July. And then somebody said, well, what are, you know, we think about our family when we go and all these colorful people, you know, that live these lives. And they said, I wonder what they think of us. Oh, Lord, here comes this holier than thou again, you know. And we just need to show them Jesus Christ and love. Love never fails. And so we intercessory and prayer walking. So write this down. Prayer walking is intercession. I got a little, and you leave that line on there, and then you can just add to prayer walking is intercession. Okay? So one of the things, now add this to it. Prayer walking is intercession on location. And the scripture, if you want to write a scripture out beside that, put this in there. John 11, verse 40 through 42. This is Jesus. And remember when he went to Lazarus and he's telling his men about Lazarus, and he says to his men, he says, you know what? Lazarus is sleeping. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, why do you want to go disturb him? And finally he said, well, he's dead. Lazarus is dead. And I'm going to go and resurrect him. And so he's prayer walking to all the way to the tomb. Even before he gets up to the tomb, he's talking to God about other people. I don't want to go through all of it because I want to get this done and get you out in a timely manner. But in John 11 and 41, he's at the tomb. He says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was, where Lazarus was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. See, he's not talking to people. He's talking to God about other people. That's what prayer walking is. As he's going to the tomb, he's talking to God about other people. Just the same way you will, as you're going to work, you're going to family outings, you're going to wherever it may be, you're talking to God about other people. And he says, and I know that you always hear me. Let me ask you something, church. Do you know that God always hears you? You know, because sometimes we pray and the answer is no, or the answer is delayed because it's not time or what have you, and we think, well, God's not listening, and it doesn't make any difference. Well, it does, because God always hears you. Jesus knew that God always heard him, and you need to know that when you pray, especially when you pray with faith, now he hears you when you pray with a whine in your voice and complain in your voice, but it's not effective. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. So it comes from the heart. It's a fervency. It's out of your passion, not your complaining. And it's going to avail much. And he's listening. And it will accomplish what God has sent him to accomplish. It says, for you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So he's walking to the tomb with all these people, and he's praying to God about these people, and he prays it out loud so they can hear. I'm talking to God about you because I'm doing intercessory prayer for you because you need to believe. God's getting ready to do a miracle, and I want you to know where it's coming from. So that's what I'm praying when I walk in our neighborhoods. I'm expecting God to do something great in our neighborhoods. Just like we coming to church with me. That was just putting fuel on the fire this morning. I would like that, he said. And so I'll work on that and get him here. The second thing that I thought about when we was talking about prayer walking, how many knows that he called us to be salt and light? And how many knows, you know, if we're just always in our house, we're not going to make much light in the community. But I feel like when we go and we represent our communities and we're out on location walking, or you're at the bank walking, or the office walking, or driving your truck down the road and into different neighborhoods and new additions. You know, Tim delivers lumber, and how many neighborhoods could you cover in a day before they ever get started? We were out riding our horses one time in this addition on the other side of Dripping Springs where we've been walking, and we walked that one as well. And we were riding our horses one day, and here come a whole caravan of cars just streaming in. I thought, wow, what is this? My first thought was, this is a bunch of kids are coming out here to drink. How many ever lined up your cars and went drinking with kids? Oh, you liars. I know you did. Come on. I know it's under the blood, right? And so that was my first thought, really, was, you know, these kids, and was what they're going to... And guess what? It was the Baptist church down here, Crestview, or whatever it's called, and they got out of their cars, and we're like, what are you doing? And they're like, we're walking the neighborhood, and we're blessing all this for houses come in here. And I want to be holy, too, so I said, well, we're riding our horses, and we're praying for it, too, you know. I said to our other riders, And so we're like, bless this neighborhood, Lord. You know, as we're riding along. And I think you could do a prayer ride. Bill and Millie got a new three-wheeler. Have you seen it? It's nice. I think they should have given that money to the church. That's a lot of money. I got a motorcycle too, so. But you know what they said they're going to do? They're going to have drive-by prayer. The devil's got drive-by shootings. Why can't we have drive-by prayer? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. In Jesus' name. I bind the enemy. In Jesus' name. God is good. You want to be blessed like me? Give your heart to Jesus. I think it works. I love it. I'm with you. Just do your drive-by praying. You know? That's awesome. That's right. Cover more territory. Yeah. Go ahead and find some more loopholes. You'll find some more. And Ray wants a trike. Wave your hand, Ray. I want to see who Ray is. Ray wants a trike. So let's just intercede that Ray will get a trike. And she'll go and just drive by praying. Will you do drive by praying if you get a trike? Oh, amen. We get holy when we get blessed, don't we? Oh, amen. So Matthew 5, it's talking about light and salt, being light and salt, being present on location. It's praying on location. Then 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, you know what, we're the temple of God. And so how about taking the temple of God to the communities? How about taking church to the communities? How about taking church, you know, to the cattle auction? When you're selling your cattle, how about praying before you get there over them? You know, wherever you are. I mean, he said, pray for what? Everyone. Pray for everyone. So when you are out there on the golf course, Donnie and Cliff, and you know, take it to the street. Pray. Take a minute from praying over your own game and pray for those around you. I was out with Ed Pendell just a few weeks ago golfing one day, and on like the 13th hole or somewhere, we pulled over. He said, I led a guy to Christ right here just a few months ago. Some of you know Ed Pendell. He attended church here for a long time. But Ed, great guy. And I thought, I want to do that. He led someone to Christ out in the middle of a game, right out on the course. He said, we just pulled their carts over, and I led him in the sinner's prayer right here. He's having some problems. And I thought, wow, isn't that neat? Went golfing and got more than a birdie. He got a sinner to Jesus. That's awesome. What'd you score? I scored a sinner. Scored a sinner. That's the ultimate game, isn't it? That's the ultimate game. Most of us at golf, we have to get resaved after our games. You know, we're all right. How many did I give you? Three. Prayer walking is intercession. Prayer walking is intercessional location. Okay. Prayer walking, here's the next one. Prayer walking is intercession on location with information. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do. When you're going around, it's just like with our neighborhood. Right now I'm collecting information from my neighbors. We've had a cookout. We've hosted a cookout. And we've hosted now an ice cream social last Sunday. Somebody asked me, how many did you have last Sunday? And we had right at 40 last Sunday. So we've grown from 30 almost to 40. And then some of them didn't leave my house until like almost 10 o'clock. I almost said, it's time to go home. You know. And now I've got neighbors that they want to host these things. And so it'll spread. But I'm gathering information. You know, who's on board as you know, who's born again believers, who's not, and who we need to intercede for. Because, you know, our neighborhoods are filled with Christians, right? Most neighborhoods, we think about, going and buying the darkness. But here's what we need to think about as well is, let's agree with the Christians that are already there. You know, don't get this holy, pious attitude that, you know, we're just God's chosen vessels to win this dark and dying neighborhood. No, God always has people in place in different communities. So we're there to agree with them and to love them regardless of what denomination they are. Miss Beverly, for you that know Miss Beverly, she was talking to us Wednesday night in our Bible class, and we was taking up prayer. Remember the one that prayed they'll come back with all their limbs? She said, and somebody had mentioned something about Jehovah's Witness, and she said, you know, I worship over there with them some. We're like, really? And I told our prayer team this morning, I said, you know, we need to be more like Miss Beverly, that we would love them and just feel comfortable going and worship with them. Instead of saying, oh, it's just, you know, they're not serving God. They don't consider Jesus as deity. And, you know, well, you know what? Just go in and be light. I thought, we can learn something from this baby Christian that says, I just went in and loved on them and accepted them, and I just sat down and worshipped with them. How about light going to somewhere that there's darkness? How many things we just need to grow our little selves and get a bigger vision for what God wants to do? Now, I'm not telling you to go into any other church without the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying we need to consider that, you know what? Instead of shunning people, you know, and all, we need to love them where they are. How are we going to win people and be light and salt if we don't? Prayer walking is intercession on location with information. And what I chose for the scripture for this is Acts 17:21-23. Remember when Paul went to Athens and he was waiting on a couple of his helpers to arrive? And he's just prayer walking. He's walking around and he looks and he sees all these pagans and all these idols. And I thought, you know what most of us would be doing? We'd be freaking out and thinking, man, what a pagan nation. This is awful. And this, you know what Paul did? He looked at a marker that said to the unknown God. And you know what he told them? He said, I perceive that you all are very religious. Isn't that great? Instead of saying, you guys are going to hell. You know how you guys are going to hell? Worshiping all these false gods? No, he said, I perceive that you're very religious. See, he was complimenting them on being religious. Nothing wrong with true religion, is there? It's false religion that's going to get you. And so he walks in, and here's all these false religions, and what he does, he finds something in common with them and brags on them about what they're doing right. Religion is good. You guys, I can see you're very religious, and so he brags on them, and he said, and not only that, I got good news for you. He said, because that unknown God, I know who he is. Let me tell you about the God you've been worshiping.
All right.
Now that is light and salt, isn't it? Wow. Let me tell you about the God. You've been worshiping the unknown God, the one you love. Let me tell you who he is. And he begins to preach Jesus. I love that. That's marvelous. That's an example of what an ideal prayer walker should look like. When you walk in and you know, maybe they're smoking pot. I don't know what they're doing, but you know, you can just tell there's darkness here. Finding something in common that we could say, this is something good. Maybe they keep a great lawn. I don't know what it might be, or maybe it's somebody at work, but you find a key that you can brag on them and give God glory for them. And then when you win them and they see you're not offended by them and you love them, then they'll let you in and somewhere along the line tell them about Jesus Christ. Intercessory prayer walking. Being light and salt. So information. Who lives here when we're going to the community? Look around. Who lives here? What needs do they have that we can help meet? I've been praying that God would help us to identify needs and then give us resources to help meet these needs. One of the things I'm excited about is a tutoring program. God's got us a principal of the school here that's going to help head up a tutoring program for all the community. Now, that might not mean much to you, but if you've got a teenager that's flunking school, that means a whole lot to you. We had one. Some of you had one. That was just, it took an act of God and a lot of prayer to get them through high school. And we got ours through, but it would have been nice to have a tutoring program right there in our community that's free of charge. Free of charge. Here's one of the things they said to me when Cliff is, you know, he's the head of the game, and he says, now, here's something they want to ask you. They come in, and they open the science book up. They open it up, and it says something about evolution. What are we going to say? I said, well, here's my take. We're here to tutor, not to preach. So my take is, let's see what the answer is in the book, help them find the answer, and then pray, God, is there something I can give them right here and be light and salt? And then give them whatever. You know, there's another, have you ever heard of creation? You know, or, but let's be light and salt where we are and help them do what we said would help them do when they get here. But isn't that good to think about stuff like that and to say, how are we going to handle that and how can we edify and meet a need in our community? I love that. So pray about wherever you are, God, what need is here and how can I help meet that need? That's Christ-like. That's light and salt. That's what that is. And then the next thing is prayer, walking, is intercession on location with information in cooperation. Let's cooperate together. How about that? Let's don't go to beat people up. Let's go to meet needs. The Bible says in Matthew 18 and 19, and verse 20, it says, "Again, I say unto you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything," everybody say anything, that they might ask, "it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." I am there in the midst of them. That's why we want to give you some little prayer guides. Stop yawning. You want to hand those out? No, you're a singer. You can't hand out stuff. You want to hand some of those out? Hand those out real quick, and I'll pray while you're looking at them. This is some of the stuff. I wanted to get this together, and this is some more information that Millie came up with off the internet. And what we did, we took it because it's like 3 pages long. It's real wordy. And so what we've done is the Lord's Prayer. And I love this little guide, and I try to pray this every day over our neighborhood. And then when we're walking, we'll go out and pray over it. But we've shortened it up to 1 page. And this will give you just a guide. This is so we can agree together. Now, anything you want to put on there, I didn't put about Lord reveal the needs of this community, but that's a great thing to add to that if you'd want to pray that, and then give us resources to meet those needs. One of the things I'm excited about, and I think it's come through intercessory prayer, is maybe taking care of orphans and neglected children here from our church. We've got, I was telling Stephanie today, I said, we got 3 ladies, Stephanie and Donna and then Dina, she's not here today, but have such a burden for children that are suffering and neglected. And I thought, what if we just opened our own orphanage? You know, there's resources and funds available that we could solicit if we had the people in place. And I think that came out of a heart for prayer, intercessory prayer. What can we do in our neighborhood? And so that's exciting to me. So just kind of put that away right now if you would. This is just for you to pray and mark it up. Put stuff on there the Holy Spirit reveals to you to pray. And one of the things, like the second paragraph there, it says, "Every place the soles of our feet tread upon belongs to you." And if you don't do prayer walks in the neighborhood, that's okay. You're walking somewhere during your week. Everywhere your soul treads, that can be. And here's what I want the prayer walkers to do. Don't think that because we're walking, we're any more holier than the people that pray at home. Well, I'm a prayer walker. Are you? Well, no, we don't pray. Whew. You know, I mean, isn't it funny? Because the devil will use anything he can use to get us to thinking we're a little bit holier and more spiritual than somebody else. Now, for all of you that will take and use these guides and pray and do prayer walks, here's what I know. Extra mile people that we just preached about get extra blessing. If you don't flaunt it. Yeah, just don't flaunt. You just walk because you love Jesus and you believe it's going to make a difference. So you got that? If you pray at home, or you pray in your bank, or you pray in the community, we're holy because of the blood, right? Not because of our works. We're not working our way to holiness. We pray because we are holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. So everybody keep that in mind and don't get an attitude about, and don't think your neighborhood is, you know, so much holier than your neighborhood. A lot of people in the neighborhood you're praying in is probably up here spiritually and you're here growing and because of what they've done and what God, you know, what God's put them in, the positions He's put them in, things He's put them over. So we're just agreeing together as we humbly go into the neighborhood. That's all. Okay? And then prayer walking is intercession on location with information in cooperation and against opposition. Against opposition. How many knows as we pray, we're not fighting each other, we're fighting the enemy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, if you want to write this scripture down, 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." You know what? If we don't go and win them, it's veiled to those that are perishing. "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded." It's talking about Satan. "Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." We're going as light and salt. And then 1 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down a stronghold." You know what? Just change your battles. Don't battle people, battle the enemy. Love people and battle the enemy. You know, even if it's somebody that's coming against you, don't battle them, battle the enemy. Do your battling in the prayer closet on your knees before God. And so when you get out in their presence, you can just be full of love and the Holy Spirit and love them. People don't know how to fight love. You ever notice that? I've had men out on the construction job when I was in construction and I was full of the Holy Spirit and just aggravate at me because I'd quote scripture and we'd sing Christian songs and they didn't like it and they'd just curse at me and I just love on them and I've never found one guy that could stand up to that. If I was around them for just a few days, they'd melt and they'd be my friend. But the thing is, when they first start cursing at you and making fun of you and all, it's difficult for the flesh not to rise up. But if you can keep that down, they don't know how to fight against love. Your enemy does not know what to do with... Satan doesn't know what to do with love. He didn't know what to do with Jesus, did he? He thought he had him, and Jesus yielded his body and his life and went to the cross and loved us and then resurrected. He didn't know what to do. He tried to kill it. You can't kill love. Are you with me? So just remember, we're here, we're not fighting people. If you're out on a prayer walk somewhere and somebody says something hateful to you, don't have anything in your heart against that person. You remember who's behind that. It's hurt, it's anger, it's bitterness, it's a situation they're going through, but love people where they are. Just love them. Just love them. Without handing out flyers. Years ago for a revival we was having here, grumpy old man come up and Target parking lot. Randy was handing out, was putting them on the car windshields, which we probably never should have done, but we put them on there. And he comes, snatched that off there and said, "Don't touch my car." And I happened to be in hearing distance and I looked and I thought, Randy was a lot younger and he is a black belt in karate. And I thought, oh, he's going to kill him and then we're going to jail and we're going to go to prison. And, you know, because he was a young Christian and that old man was right in his face, "Don't touch my car. Don't you ever touch my car." And I walked up and I said, "Give me that, sir." And I took it and I said, "We're so sorry for touching your car. Come on, Randy. We didn't mean to offend you in any way, sir. We're sorry." And we walked on off. But here's what I know. That old gentleman had something that was really here and here that was tormenting him. And he didn't need any more pressure from us arguing about the gospel. What he needed was somebody just to love him enough just to back off and get out of his face and say, "We're really sorry and we shouldn't have done that." See, all I'm saying is there's going to be opposition. But you know what? If we make it the people, we've just fallen into Satan's trap. Are you with me? If we make it people, if I look at you because we've had disagreements and opposition, and I make it you, then I've just fallen into Satan's trap. The opposition is coming from other sources. Now, it could come through flesh and selfishness, but it's still, it's a spirit. We need to love people. And then the last one is prayer walking, is intercession on location with information and cooperation against opposition for glorification. We're only here to glorify God. Remember what he said? It pleases God. Prayer walking, doing intercessory prayer, it just pleases God. I'm here to glorify him. I'm not here to get merits. Don't worry about that because you'll get merits. He'll give you blessing and you've never sown anything that God won't give you blessing. Okay? But here's the thing. We're not there to get it. We're here to glorify God. As we do prayer walks, as we do prayer intercession in your closet, we're here to glorify you. God, we know it pleases you. We know we'll be blessed, but we're here to glorify your name today and see your kingdom come on this planet. The one I thought about in that, in the scripture verse was John 11:4. When he went to Lazarus, he told his guys, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And as he was walking, he said, "I know it looks bad. I know the family's going to be upset. I know there's a death." He said, "But watch this. God's fixing to get glory." And he's walking and he's praying toward the problem and toward the doubt and toward the unbelief. I think that's why the Bible said Jesus wept, is because he looked at them and he knew God was coming with this great power to raise the dead, and not one person could recognize what God was getting ready to do because they didn't have a heart. They wouldn't be in tune with prayer. They were in tune with their problem. Listen, church, that's where we get. We get in tune with our problems so much that we can't even see the blessings and glory of God. But Jesus wasn't. He knew. He was an intercessor prayer warrior, and he was on his knees, and he said, "This sickness is unto death, but it's for the glorification that the Son may be glorified." He's walking, and he's excited, and he gets there in this big group of people, and he's the only one excited, and it breaks his heart because nobody else can see that God's getting ready to do something powerful. We have people right now telling us, just like Ray was saying, God's getting something ready to do something powerful in this church. But you're going to have to get your mind, church, and our minds off the problem and on to glorifying God. And we're going to have to make time for intercessory prayer. And I tell you, it doesn't take long. It's just, I got with Terry and he's taught me some things, and it doesn't take long till it just becomes more enriched. It becomes easier and it comes better, and you're more thoughtful of it, of what you're praying. And this morning I woke up doing intercessory prayer. And I thought, this is cool. This is cool. Prayer changes things. You want to be a world changer? I challenge you to pray. I challenge you to pray. And watch your world change. Watch your heart and your mind be healed. Watch your attitude become different. Watch your expectation rise because you think God's going to do something because you've been interceding before the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our congregation, for this body. We ask that you would be glorified through us as we pray. Lord, without the Spirit, we're pretty selfish individuals, spending most of our time on what we want and what we like and what we're out to achieve and what we're out to purchase. And I pray that you'll forgive us for being selfish and with our time, and help us to rearrange some of our time so we can be intercessors. Help us to begin to just devote a part of our day. And at first, maybe it's just a small part, but it's a part of our day saying, God, I want to talk to you today about somebody else. I want to talk to you today about our neighborhood. And just begin to pray this little outline that we've given out today, or pray whatever God puts on their heart. But they'll begin to, they will all as a church begin to just pray over other people and other needs. And it'll become a part of our life. And it'll be the start of a great harvest in our lives and in our communities and in our church. And we ask you to just get us away from our own needs and our own self, and for a few minutes a day, and we're talking to you about other people and other needs. What a powerful experience that is. That's what Jesus, your Son, did. That's what He's doing right now. He's seated at the right hand of God, and He's interceding for us, Lord. And so help us to be like Jesus. Help us to be like the Holy Spirit, Lord, that's interceding for us as well. Help us to take on this characteristic in our life, and it pleases you. You told us in your word, Lord, it pleases you. We want to please you, Lord, and so help us to do it for no other reason than that it pleases you. And we'll be doing something every day that we, at least for a little while, we know that's pleasing you. So help us take this challenge today. It's a great challenge. It's an exciting challenge. For those that maybe their family is lost, today I pray that they'll become intercessors for their family. Lord, I have family that's lost, and I just pray that I'll begin to pray over them like I pray over our neighborhoods now and in other areas that we've been walking and praying in. And help us to be intercessors for our family. And believe that they're going to change. They're going to change because we're doing intercessory prayer, and God hears and God will move on behalf of our prayers. And to be faithful and to be consistent with it in Jesus' name. And what an exciting time it is, Lord, to serve you. We want to be world changers, Lord. And before I pray for those that are in need of Christ, and while Christians are praying, heads are bowed, I don't want you looking around, but if you're here with me today and you said, Pastor, I'll begin intercessory prayer with you. Would you just lift your hand and wave it at me? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Father, you saw all the hands that went up, and I asked blessing upon them that made a commitment today to pray with me and intercede for our city, for our neighborhoods, for our family, wherever it is you lead them in committing to intercessory prayer. But today, Lord, they took a step of faith by lifting their hands, and I speak blessing and strength and endurance and perseverance over them. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and lift them up for their commitment. And help them to be world changers in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. While Christians are praying, heads are bowed. If you're here today and you need Christ, what I'd like for you to do is just, I'd like to just lead you in a simple prayer. You can just pray it to you and the Father. You don't have to pray it out loud, but just pray this in your heart. If you're here and you need Christ, and or if you need to recommit your life today, just say this simple prayer and He'll be there for you. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Clean up my past and wash away all my sins. And today I serve you, Lord. Today I belong to you. Today I give my heart to you. I'm starting a new life today through the power of Jesus Christ. And I'm excited about it, Lord. Amen. And what